has to throw a strike. 3-1 pitch. Swung on, flied into right. There's Blake Perkins waiting on the edge of the track at the wall. Reaches up. Goodbye. We're tied.
Well, it sounded like a routine pop-up, but that's just kind of how the game went yesterday in Las Vegas.
You could watch baseball for the rest of your life. You'll never see another one like this one was.
15, 14, and 12 innings. The Brewers outlast the A's in their first game in Las Vegas of this season. What a bonkers game.
Unbelievable. I want to hear straight from Adam. Like, how does he rank this on all of the games you've seen?
Well, Brewers.com writer Adam McAlvey is in Las Vegas. In fact, he probably just got home from whatever he was doing last night before tonight's game. In a minor league ballpark of sorts, Jeff Levering kind of hinted at it on the TV broadcast as the game was starting yesterday. Adam saying, boy, batting practice was quite the spectacle today at the ballpark. Little did he know what it would turn into last night at the ballpark.
It was crazy. Now, I've seen plenty of spring training games in my day where it's the same kind of conditions in Arizona in March, but this was like next level. And, you know, the underrated part about it, it wasn't just the way the ball flew, it was the way the ball bounced on the infield. The infield is like an asphalt parking lot. So you think about some of, if people were watching in the early innings, the A's, well, the Brewers too, Jake Bowers hit a bouncer that bounced 50 feet over the third baseman's head. The A's had a couple of those balls before some big home runs. It was just chaos for the pitchers. And Kyle Harrison has pitched here before in the Giants system, so he knew what he was in for. But even he said this was like a different level of it yesterday. I think it was Chad Patrick who said, I don't think the stadium was built for major league hitters. So we've got two more. I mean, Lane says we'll never see it again. I'm a little worried we're going to see it again tonight.
Just wow. In a few hours.
So 11.
At least I've had more than, you know, a little bit of sleep. We flew here yesterday, so that makes for, I mean, by the end of it, I couldn't keep up. It was just so much going on in that game.
So 11 combined home runs is one thing, Adam. But were there moments when the players genuinely just stopped trusting what looked like could be a routine fly ball?
Well, yeah, the last one. And Murph said, you guys, I mean, that's a nice early wake-up call for Murph after they left last night after midnight, left the stadium. The Jonah Heim homer, I mean, you know, we get metrics on all this stuff now, so the metrics on that ball were like impossible for a home run, and they actually came down, so they were reviewing that data last night, but not before everybody took screenshots and those numbers are out there. The launch angle was 48 degrees for the mathematicians out there. I mean, the way he connected with that baseball is just impossible to be a home run, but here it's a home run with the wind and the dry air and the heat and the whole thing. So, if you watch that highlight closely, it's crazy because William Contreras pounds his glove. The game's over. Aaron Ashby puts his head down and is ready to shake hands. He's about to be the first pitcher in baseball to double-digit wins. And all of a sudden, boom, tie game. I mean, you just
–
they learned this at Coors Field. It was a good tune-up. And all the years at Coors Field, the game is never over. You never stop taking at-bats at Coors Field, no matter what the circumstances. And this place is like that times 10. It was wild.
So the Brewers got off to a really good start. And then it was kind of sluggish and some good players were injured. The ball was not flying out of the ballpark for a good stretch. And now since May 4th, they're 23-8. Significance. Andrew Vaughn returned to the lineup. Jackson Churio returned to the lineup. Christian Yelich started playing a little more regularly around that time. Well, what a big surprise. When your best players return to the lineup, you start winning a little bit more.
Yeah, they got their team back. And look, every team deals with injuries. The Cubs would tell you their pitching injuries are next level. And the Brewers have certainly had their share, but not like the Cubs. So every team deals with it. But it's hard to assess what you've got when you just don't have the players on the field and you're in that early season small sample territory. So it's made a difference. The way Andrew Vaughn, for example, has mashed lefties, it changes things to have him to pair with Jake Bowers, who's having this great season, and maybe as a Brewers all-star. He would be one of the surprising all-stars if that's the case. They definitely have gotten healthier in the hitting department. Now, the pitching, different story, and they're working on that.
So, Adam, do you think that game last night could become one of those season-defining wins that players point to months down the road?
Well, I always think those wins, I've probably said this to you guys before in the last couple of years we've done this, I think the earlier in the season you get a win like that, the more it means, because it shows to the guys that you can do it. I always think that, like, you know, even look to this Brewers team, a game like opening day where they score a ton of runs and beat the White Sox, and then in the finale of that series, remember, they came back from down and got a sweep. Like, those comebacks count more early to me. That's just my unfounded theory of baseball. So, you know, a game like last night, if we're in the dog days of August and they're, you know, in some kind of fight for playoff positioning and they're down in the ninth inning, it's the kind of game you remember. It's the kind of game you yell about to your teammate in the dugout. You know, remember playing on the moon in Las Vegas. Let's do that again. And those little things in a game that is such a mental test, I think, matter.
So Murph was asked this morning by Vinny and Eric if he had to have a little chat with the team about the temptations of Vegas. Here's what he had to say.
I have to talk to the staff more than I have to talk to the guys.
He's going to talk to the staff more than he actually has to talk to the players. Hey, look, Adam, you've been around this team for so many years, right? I mean, this is not just a little trip to Cincinnati. I do wonder if there was some sort of buzz, even though they're playing in kind of a minor league ballpark and it's 100 degrees in the day. Was there any little bit of different buzz for a game in early June playing in a city they've never played a professional ball game in?
Well, they are staying on the strip too, so it's all the fun is right there for them to have. But I don't think major league players have a problem finding fun in any city that they go to. So I don't know that it's a huge difference. I also think this is such a different era of major league baseball. And again, how many times have we talked about the stuff that these guys do in terms of tracking sleep, tracking everything that goes into their body, all of the recovery devices that they wear, their rings and their ankle devices and those types of things. I don't think you have to worry in a way that you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I laughed actually because on the board in the Brewers clubhouse coming into this road trip, they had hydration tips because, you know, to play Colorado, you need to prepare for that 2 or 3 days before. So there were a lot of tips on the board, and one of them was to avoid alcohol for 24 to 48 hours. And I joked to one of the players, like, I just don't think that's a problem anymore. Like, the guys just don't do that kind of stuff in the way that the, you know, baseball players were once famous for. So I can't say everybody was a choir boy here and went straight to bed last night. But after a game like that and watching everybody how worn out and how quickly they were out the door, I highly doubt that it was a big-time party night on the Las Vegas Strip.
Plus, for years now, Vegas has been promoting itself as more family-friendly.
Oh, definitely.
That's
yeah.
been their thing.
Yeah, I'm sure
well,
you're feeling that.
Well, I just walked through the pool here at the MGM Grand, and I can tell you there are certainly about 25,000 families out there right now at 10:30 in the morning.
Can't find a seat. Hey, Adam, I wanted to ask you about this, too, because the Brewers just unveiled the Trust Club details. A lot of people think this looks fantastic. And then you have a lot of people who are not happy about it, including I saw front row Amy tweeting about this yesterday. In fact, I think she retweeted something that you had posted. And then she said, I knew it was bad when they called to schedule an in-person meeting. My meeting is Friday, so I don't have all the details yet, but it doesn't look good. She said, fans are not first in Milwaukee. People are very mixed on this. What do you know so far about the Trust Club?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've seen the renderings just like everyone has. It looks beautiful. I can also tell you that when we go around to all these stadiums, because those elevators drop from the press box right down to that service level, kind of right behind home plate. So we see all of these clubs all around Major League Baseball because maybe 7 times out of 10, they're right behind home plate under the seats. So when you come out in Atlanta or just this last road trip in Houston or Colorado, we wait outside the Brewers clubhouse and you see the windows into the club. In Denver, those clubs are everywhere in Major League Baseball. And when the A's stadium, which I'm looking at right now across the street from MGM Grand going under construction, when that opens, the Brewers would be the last club in Major League Baseball without one of those areas. So you know how it is. There's
sure.
a keeping up with the Joneses element yeah. to this. And that's part of what that funding was for, was to keep American Family Field up to standard with the league, with Major League Baseball. That's the language. So at the same time, I understand this is something that a lot of us won't get to experience all the time, and that leads to a certain reaction. And as far as front row Amy, all I know is the Brewers were making a plan to talk to the folks who are in those seats, including Amy, about options. I don't know how it goes beyond that. You know, she's a great fan. She's a part of sort of the story of Brewers baseball every time you turn on a game.
Yeah.
The culture, absolutely. So I hope there's a happy outcome there. I probably myself will let her and her ticket rep sort that out.
Well, the Brewers are 18 games above 500. Adam, I had noted that. I am in radio for a reason, because math is not a strong point. But if they play 500 baseball the rest of the way, they'll have achieved 90 wins, and that historically is enough to be a playoff team. But they've done it on June 8th. June 8th, they were 18 games above 500, earliest I can ever remember.
Well, as Christian Yelich would say, there's a lot of season left. He's always the Mr. Perspective about not getting too low when things, you know, 0-4 starting last year, or when they get too high and you're 18 over on this date this year. So you just have to keep going. And, you know, as Pat Murphy told us this week, baseball will throw the full catastrophe at you from time to time. And they kind of had it with the relievers going into this road trip. So far they've navigated, but two more games here on the surface of the moon. I said last night, it's like playing on an asphalt parking lot on the surface of the moon.
Yeah, with the heat of the sun.
Who the heck knows what we have in store?
Surface of the moon, heat of the sun. Adam McKelvey covering the Brewers out in Las Vegas this week. We appreciate it, Adam. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. See you guys.
I could not stay awake for the game last night. I wanted to, because I knew there were so many runs on the board that I knew the game wasn't over, even though the Brewers were down like three and it was getting kind of late. Man, I used to live for the 9 o'clock game. I used to love that. That was like part of the fabric of my childhood. I lived for those games. And now I'm like, you know, Tom and Jerry from the cartoon, taping my eyelids open, trying to make it through. So I was as surprised as everyone to see that the Brewers had won 15, 14, and 12 innings when I woke up this morning.
Yeah, so wild. What a game. And I'll tell you what, when you look at these plans, I agree with Adam as far as the Trust Club. I think we have to keep up with the times. And as long as you have fans who are willing to pay for that, it makes sense, right? But I also feel for the people who now it looks like they're going to be displaced and maybe can't afford to be in those seats. I get it all. But when I was looking at the plans, there's something on social media. It's on TikTok. I'm not sure where the original sound comes from, but it's like, that looks nice.
It looks beautiful.
And that's what I could hear in my head when I was looking at the plans.
I am a sucker for a good rendering. That is for sure. But sometimes I take Canal Street kind of by the stadium to get to the freeway to avoid some of the traffic congestion.
Oh, I did it the other day with Target.
It's nice, isn't it? I did note some of the construction. What is that? What is going on? I noticed it about a week ago. But yes, now we've got answers and we have renderings for the Trust Club. It's 12:51.